there is a thank you very much. There is the devotees are affected by the changes, but so I was affected by not being able to travel at all, and now I'm again with living devotees. It's so nice, really. Thank you for inviting us, having us. We're so happy here. Krishna. I feel sometimes we don't know what we have when we regularly do something like traveling, like attending a morning program. We take it for granted, but then when it's all of a sudden not possible, and then finally, after a long time of separation, we can go, we are just so happy. For me, Radha Desh is the spiritual world. Even France, where there was some in the past, some here a problem and there a problem, is also the spiritual world, because I missed the regular devotee association. Of course, we have got Krishna and Varaha and all we have few devotees living together, but very good. So today I have something I feel is very important. I have from the Bhagavatam an ideal way how to pass our days in this world in full Krishna consciousness. I think it will give you something to think about, some good thought for the day. So I hope to share my enthusiasm for this verse with you. Jaya Radha Madhava Dunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Valla Va Giri Varadari Gopi Jana Valla Va Giri Varadari Yasoda nanana Braja jana ranjana Yasoda nanana Braja jana ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Sri Radhe. Jaya Prabhupada 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 Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading this morning from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 19, text 16. Because of time shortage, we will do it a little fast. Punascha Bhuyat Bhagavatyanante Punascha Bhuyat Bhagavatyanante Rati Prasangascha Tat Ashrayeshu
Rati Prasangascha Tat Ashrayeshu
Mahatsu Yam Yam Upayami Shrishtim
Mahatsu Yam Yam
Maitrastu sarvatra namo dvijebhya
Maitrastu sarvatra namo dvijebhya
Punascha bhuyat bhagavat yanante
Punascha bhuyat bhagavat yanante
Rati prasangascha tat ashrayeshu Mahatsu yam yam upayami shrishtim Maitrastu savatra namo dvijebhya
Maitrastu savatra namo dvijebhya
Could we please have another devotee? So. Punascha bhuyat bhagavatyanante Rati prasangascha tat ashrayeshu Mahatsu yam yam upayami shishtim Majastu savatra namo vijevya Punascha bhuyat bhagavatyanante Rati prasangascha tat ashrayeshu Mahatsu yam yam upayami shishtim Maitrastu savatra namo Thank you. May I request the Vaishnavi to please chant? Punascha bhuyat bhagavatyanante Maitreya Satanamo Nityesha. Punaha. Again. Cha. End. Bhuyat. Let it be. Bhagavati. Unto Lord Shri Krishna. Anante. Who has unlimited potency. Rati. Attracting. Rasanga. Association. Cha. Also. Tat. His. Ashrayeshu. With those who are his devotees. Mahatsu. Within the material creation. Yam yam. Wherever. Upayami. I may take. Shrishtim, my birth, Maitri, friendly relation, Astu, let it be, Savatra, everywhere, Namaha, my obeisances, Dvijebhyaha, unto the Brahmanas. Before we hear the translation, I would like to give you the context in which this verse appears so that we can understand it more deeply. We all have heard that Parikshit Maharaj, after he was cursed to die within 7 days, went to the banks of the Ganga, Shishiradha Gopinatha ki. He did not just, he went with a question to the Ganga. What should I do now where I am on the brink of death? Shukadev Goswami came, being sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who makes arrangements when the question is there in our heart, so that we become enlivened. And while Parikshit fasted for the 7 days, he recited the beautiful Bhagavatam to him as an answer to this question, what should I do standing at the brink of death? It was hearing about Krishna and glorifying him, basically. So he read the Bhagavatam, where Parikshit would hear about Krishna and he would hear the glorifications of Krishna. So at the beginning of this 7 days marathon, Shukadev spoke the Bhagavatam consistently and our Parikshit Maharaj listened to it. At the beginning, Parikshit Maharaj voiced a request. It is the request of someone who only has 7 more days to live. It is found out that people who are asked before they complete their life, when they are on the brink of death, when they are asked this question, what would you do differently? They come up with really wonderful and very deep advices, which are very good for those who are who stay on, who are not dying, to follow. Really, the best advices for life come for those who look back at life, at the end of a life, and they have learned from life a lot, and then they can isolate very good points which they leave behind for those who are still living so that they can already incorporate these points. So there are now 3 points which Parikshit Maharaj says, 3 requests which he makes at the very end of his life. He says, Again, I offer my obeisances unto all you Brahmanas. I pray that if I should take my birth again in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna. My prayer is that I also have association with his devotees, and furthermore, I wish to have friendly relations with all living beings. So, can we just go through the 3 points? What does Parikshit Maharaj request at the end of his life, in case he should take birth again in this world? He wants, anyone remembers the first point? Yes, I heard it from here. He wants to have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Shri Krishna. What is his second request? Yeah, I hear it also in the atmosphere, association with his devotees. And the last request? Friendly relationships with all living beings. Now listen please to Srila Prabhupada's very insightful purport. I would just like, before I start reading, I want to help you a little bit to dive deeper into the secret of the Bhagavatam. As you listen now, you will be a little tired from maybe you rose very early today, or you rose a little later because you went late to bed, or you were tired. It doesn't matter. The morning time, sometimes we are a little inattentive, especially when we hear a Bhagavatam text. So it's good to be attentive. Why? You want to have a good insight, a good understanding which you take with you in your life, so that you live a life less ordinary, an extraordinary life. You want to take the inspiration with you, because without an inspiration, you are more or less forced to rely on an ordinary mindset. So please listen. I will read slowly and with pauses so that it's easy to follow. That a devotee of the Lord is the only perfect living being is explained herein by Maharaj Parikshit. A devotee of the Lord is no one's enemy, although there may be many enemies of a devotee. A devotee of the Lord does not like to associate with non-devotees, although he has no enmity with them. He desires association with the devotees of the Lord. This is perfectly natural, because birds of the same feather mix together. You can see here in Radha Desh, the sparrows stick with the sparrows. I don't know how the English word is. Die Amseln und die Stare. You know, you have these same birds, but I don't know the English word. They stay amongst their kind. And therefore, it is natural, says Prabhupada, that we like to be with devotees, because we want to be devotees, and we feel we can discuss with them the things that matter most. And the most important function of a devotee is to have complete attachment for Lord Shri Krishna, the father of all living beings. As a good son of the father behaves in a friendly way with all his other brothers, so also the devotee of the Lord, being a good son of the Supreme Father, Lord Krishna, sees all other living beings in relation with the Supreme Father. He tries to bring back the upstart sons of the Lord to a saner stage and to get them to accept the supreme fatherhood of God. Maharaj Parikshit was certainly going back to Godhead, but even if he were not to go back, he prayed for a pattern of life which is the most perfect way in the material world. A pure devotee does not desire the company of a personality as great as Brahma. So he is not starstruck. New word I learned today. But he prefers the association of a petty living being, provided he is a devotee of the Lord. Prabhupada, this is so wonderful. Please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paskacha Vesatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Garada Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here, this is something really special. We learn about a pattern of life which is the most perfect way to live in the material world. Would you like to know this? You know, how do I live a life that is perfect in an imperfect world? There is the most important, that is complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Shri Krishna. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada says, and the most important function of a devotee is to have complete attachment for Lord Shri Krishna, the father of all living beings. Now, this is a tall order, to have complete attachment to Krishna. I don't know if anyone, except maybe one or two amongst us, would think, oh yeah, I have already complete attachment to Krishna. It's not so easy, because we have turned away from Krishna since a very, very long time. It's ingrained in us, and therefore it's very difficult. It needs to be trained. If you want to, for instance, do something which is now very difficult for you, like lead a kirtan on the harmonium maybe, then I can't tell you, now become a kirtan leader like Manu, and play like Manu and sing like Manu. I would have to tell you, this is how you can learn to play harmonium and sing very correctly. I would have to give you a program. So complete attachment to Krishna is a goal, but we need a program to get it. And there is a very interesting part in the fourth canto where this program is given. You know, there was once another king, Prito, and four saintly persons arrived in his palace, the four Kumaras, and Prito saw, here's a chance I can ask these saintly people how I should benefit myself. And he says to them, can there be any benefit for myself? Because my aim is sense gratification at the moment, and I'm pushed around by my karma. Can you tell me a program where I, who am an attached person and who is pushed around by his karma, can have real benefit? I think we all are a little bit in that category. We are motivated by things which make us happy in this world, and we also feel sometimes an influence of karma. Things happen to us which we don't like, and as we heard yesterday, they are caused by atmakritam, by one's own activities in the past. Even if you are a devotee and you don't perform karmic activities any longer, you still have to suffer sometimes consequences when you make, for instance, offenses against other devotees, you know, then bang, there is definitely some, you feel it, it's not good. So, yes, so what can benefit us? And as the oldest of the saints, their four brothers, says, detachment and attachment can help you. Oh, detachment and attachment. What does this mean? Well, it is like this. At the moment, we are attached to Maya and to our own comfort. And if we increase our attachment to Krishna, these harmful attachments slowly, slowly go away. Now, I know myself now, I celebrated this year my 50th birthday. My physical body is older, but I'm serving now for 50 years, this year, for 50 years, Srila Prabhupada. I'm trying to serve as good as possible. And I remember the devotees had made a photo gallery where they had posted pictures of myself from the time. There was one photo from when I just met the devotees, and it came up to a more recent photo where I was, I think, preaching to people or something. So I stood before my life, so to say, on the photo gallery. On the first photo, I saw a long-haired young boy who was young, who was foolish, and who was really angry with so many things, a protester. And I saw him, he was chanting, trying to chant with the devotees. And my first reaction seeing this photo is, who's that? He's disturbing. He's disturbing the harmony. And then I found out, oh no. Oh, that was me. Young, foolish, and angry. I cannot say that I'm very intelligent now, but I know it has changed. I'm not as I mean, maybe it sounds arrogant, but no, I can say for definitely I'm not in the same consciousness as I was on that photo. I'm definitely not. I'm not aggressive any longer. I was very aggressive and so on. That I can say. That things have objectively changed. Even a psychologist would have to admit this process worked. So, yes, and I became, God Krishna teaches me the important words. I teared up. Is it? I teared up. Yeah, I hope you understand. It's English. Because I was really moved that what had happened to me. I had become more detached from my old life, and I have developed attachments, for instance, yes, to devotee association, to spiritual literature. I'm attached. I like the holy name very much, and I just like the atmosphere in a temple very much. So these good attachments have come. But how? I was very curious. What is the program here? And I found in this fourth canto a very simple and very good program. The first thing is you must increase, how to increase your attachment so that you will become detached from Maya. First thing is you must inquire about bhakti. How do I do this bhakti? And you should never stop. Yesterday I talked to one very nice and educated devotee. I said, every day you must inquire, you must read the scriptures and find out, how can I live bhakti or Krishna consciousness today? This was Prabhupada's criticism against his disciples. He said, you are doing well, but there are two things. You're not enough afraid of Maya, and the second is you do not read. He said to us, imagine your spiritual master tells you, I have a criticism to say to you. You are not enough afraid of Maya. You're too. And Sisi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And you don't read. I have now inquired from a few devotees in Radhadesh, and I found out the scandalous behavior of the Radhadesh devotees. They don't read sufficiently. Maybe a little. Scandal, Gopinath, what? You're a Brahmachari leader. We have to change that. Hare Krishna. I'm saying it in a humorous way. I'm saying it to wake up the last sleeping member. You are wonderful devotees, and I understand you're overburdened with services. I understand. I myself have read yesterday only for 10 minutes so that I could give at least this lecture that I read. I know it is. But I'm just saying, this is how we can make advancement. We have to and become attached to Krishna. If we hear the perfect way of life is to have complete attachment to Krishna, then we have to ask, how do I get there? If we are not yet there, you know, and this is how to do it. You need to inquire about bhakti. What is this? And then apply it. And immediately your level of consciousness will change totally. You will have an extraordinary mindset. Immediately. You have to read, but not that, oh, I have to read. How many pages? No, you must say, what is in the text so that it can help me, who am sometimes still under the influence of unhappiness, or tamagun and rajagun, no? And then you can apply it. The second tip has to do a lot with the first tip, but it is more clear. You have to regularly hear and chant. By the way, if you come to the Bhagavatam classes where the texts are read, that is hearing, and when you come to the morning programs, you're chanting, you're doing it. And then you have to worship the Lord or the devotee. We also do that in the morning program. Every morning we come for samsara. If we have managed to go take enough rest, for the morning program. Every morning we have a chance to worship Prabhupada and to have darshans of the Lord. Actually, our program in the temple is already meant to is a practical program if we to become more attached to Krishna, if we only can do it consciously and attentively. And finally, we should take some effort to mold our life in such a way that we cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the Lord's qualities. I know that sounds abstract for many of you. What it means is really that you should ask yourself, have I today thought about Krishna enough? Has this thought crossed my mind? You know, and you can do it in very practical ways. You can try to think during the day, what outfit was Radha Gopinath wearing? How was he dressed today? It's very simple. This is easy. Today is easy. Golden outfit, I would say. No? So you can think, somehow bring Krishna in your mind. Your mind is congested. You have a constipation in the mind when you are only thinking of material subjects. There must be Krishna. That's very important for us to live. So this is the program which the Kumaras give to King Prithu. They know King Prithu is a king and he will tell this program or give this program also to his citizens. It's something very doable. You need to increase your attachment to Krishna so that you become more detached from illusions. And this you do by inquiring about bhakti and applying it, doing it. And the second tip is you regularly hear and chant and then worship the Lord or his devotees. So it means you must take some effort to put your life in this way. And it will be very good for you. I can tell you from my own experience, I was always a preacher. No, that's not true. I was also a translator for 5 years. But then I was a preacher, and I'm still doing this. It's my service. And I had this one moment in my life where I was constantly trying to meet new people. You know, I was traveling all over and going to festivals, you know, rock and roll festivals. Visiting communes, visiting addresses which the Sankirtan devotees gave me from the year around. Every day in the year I was doing it, and I was talking Krishna consciousness. And then one day I thought, well, I'm preaching to people, but maybe I should also preach to myself a little bit to apply the teachings. And I did it, and it worked really nice. Padmakshi, I still remember this. I was on a festival. There were these young people. It was a summer festival, and many of them were not dressed. So here I am, prasadam table, and they come and they're not dressed. Rinpoche. Yeah, I was like a blind man, you know. Sorry, this Bhagavatam fell, that's not good. So I was, and then I noted, my God, here's Maya, you know. I could be, it's not good for a brahmachari to be in a situation where people are not dressed. And then I noted, ooh, this is the material world. You better now apply your knowledge. By the way, Sachinanda Swami, I remember it was that day. How good were your rounds which you chanted in the morning? And I looked at my B-bag, 2 rounds I had chanted, because we distribute prasadam all night, and then, of course, people are already hungry at 7 o'clock, you know. They have gone through the night, and then I said, okay, so what will you do today to chant good rounds? I said, well, maybe I should leave the festival place, find a peaceful place outside where I won't be disturbed by music, loud music, and chant good rounds. I still remember that day where I needed to, it was clear the people needed prasadam. We were there, we had prasadam to distribute in large quantities, but I would not be very good in good consciousness in the evening if I don't protect my consciousness now. And so I did the morning shift. Then I said, Prabhus, I'm going to chant my rounds. I'm coming back later at 11 o'clock. But I'm going. You won't find me because we didn't have mobile telephones or such distractions at that time. Distraction should not be. I said the wrong word, but you know what I mean. So, yes, I still remember that day I had to apply the philosophy. Otherwise, I knew in the evening my consciousness would be disturbed, especially by all this music and some of the music I knew from before, and I liked it before. It would put some neurons into vibration, good vibrations in here, so I didn't want that. So I said, let me protect my consciousness. And from that day on, I have always asked the question, okay, how can I apply the philosophy today? That's all what is required. You hear about Krishna chant, and then you apply it. If you don't apply it, it will have not enough effect on you. You have to do. So this is the first point, increasing our attachment to Krishna, so that ultimately we are completely attached to Krishna. The second is association with devotees. Now, we have heard a lot about it. I have given many seminars also in France about how to strengthen our community and so on. I will not go into great details here. I only want to say what Prabhupada says here. This is perfectly natural that one desires association with devotees, because birds of the same feather mix together. So this is important. But I would like to tell you my main insight over all these years is you have to invest in the relationship with devotees. It's not enough to just do the things, greet everyone, Hari Bol, pray in the morning, the Vanshakalpa prayers. You have to make some type of personal contact with devotees where they can see that you care about the relationship. There's a statement, I think it's true. I don't care how much you know unless I know that you care for me. No? A relationship amongst devotees must be requires constant work. You can't say, now it is. You have to be willing to invest and give your best. That is very important. I want to give you an example. Who of you is interested in fitness? fit body. I think we are, yes, I know no one wants to say, okay, me, because then everyone says, oh, he is very much on the bodily platform. No, I think, let us say it better. We are all interested in health, no? That's how we greet each other in ISKCON. How is your health, Prabhu? That means health is a thing which we value. Otherwise, why talk about it? Health is something you need to watch. Like, for instance, now we are traveling. I take always vitamin C because I know the traveling, I'm more easy, I get throat problems and I may get a sneeze. But now I take vitamin C. You can never say I have enough health. Let me talk to the young people. I give another example. It's like, for you, Nitai, you don't need to think about health. You are young. That comes naturally as a blessing of youth. But what you certainly need to think about every day is to eat food so that you remain strong and enlivened, isn't it? You can't say, I have eaten yesterday, no need to eat today. You have to constantly watch that you are nourished in a healthy and decent way in order to do your services and so on. It's never done, in other words, with just one time activity. The same holds true for relationships, especially when you made something which is causing some trouble for the other person. You need to invest at that time. Otherwise, the relationship thins out. And even if you know devotees, you need to show at least an interest. How are you? Or I'm happy to see you. Or something, some small. It doesn't require a huge, big. It sometimes requires only to be a little attentive and so on. And then the relationship can go on. This is very important in a devotional community. We are often very busy, and that's very good to maintain our projects. And I hear here in Radhadev, you have always exciting projects. Now I hear the Goshala is coming together. Then there will be a prasadam hall. I can't imagine that Radhadev will ever say, it's enough. They will always think of expanding their services, which is nice. Simultaneously, we need to invest in our relationships with the devotees by giving attention to this. The last point is friendly relations with all living beings. Prabhupada writes about this. As a good son of the father behaves in a friendly way with all his brothers, so also the devotee of the Lord, being a good son of the Supreme Father, Lord Krishna, sees all other living beings in relation with the Supreme Father. He sees like this, that everyone is part of Krishna. If they know it or not, it doesn't change the fact that Krishna is the seed-giving father of all living beings, and I should behave in a way that uplifts them. That's very, very important. A good son of a father is kind to all the other family members, so a good devotee will think of doing something for mankind. He will think of a contribution which he gives. Here in Radhadev, I do know that it's so wonderful, the project. So many people come. Buses start coming again, Radha Chaitanya? little, little. Yeah. Individuals keep coming. And you have woofers. Woofers, these wallen. And the woof. It's a pause for them. COVID. All right. Yeah, yeah. But here, I'm saying, because it is separate, it is on its own. We live on a hill, which I hear is very good because there's flooding in the villages who are down the hill. Mm. It's good if you are in a mindset when someone visits, he's a guest of Krishna. Now he should be taken care of nicely, and you should greet them nicely, and they should leave Radhadesh with a wonderful impression. Here in Radhadesh, wow, the people are very hospitable. They're very nice, these Hare Krishna devotees. Mm. I personally had a wake-up call. See, I like Vrindavan very much. I like the holy dharms. And I had, maybe 15 years ago, I felt, I'm only coming here to take in the good atmosphere. I'm chanting, I'm visiting the holy places. But I feel I should do something for the residents of Vrindavan. And from that, I developed a little charity. It's called Braj Care. And we feed people, we repair their roofs so that the rain doesn't come in. We take care of their sanitary facilities, which are sometimes, you don't want to look there. They are so broken. And in this way, in a little way, we are simple people. In a little way, we try to do this. And from this, I developed a program called Compassion Tuesday, where every Tuesday, I sit with the devotees and we pray for the benefit of people, because that's what devotees are supposed to do. We should have a kind attitude towards the suffering conditioned souls. Somehow we should all do this. So if you live by the three points, you should have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Sri Krishna. That's difficult, I agree, but you should then be on a program where you develop this. We talked about this. Then have association with devotees, and I wanted to tell you, give something. The traditional ways are to give gifts to devotees, yes, and what else? To give them time so that you can have a confidential exchange, and give them also prasadam, you know. So that is done in our tradition. And finally, have friendly relations with all living beings. Do something to uplift them in the consciousness. And when you do this every day, you'll have a perfect life. What does it say here? This is a pattern of life which is the most perfect way to live in the material world. I want to tell you something about this first point. Prabhupada says, what does he say? This is the most important function of a devotee, is to develop complete attachment to Krishna. I read this, I prepared this lecture this morning, and I thought, I'm actually not completely attached to Krishna. And I'm talking about it. That's not good, you know, if you talk about something you have not. And then I remembered Once Prabhupada was asked, he was not asked, he said, what's the difference between an animal and a human being? Would you like to give a guess? Gopinath, you are intelligent. What is the difference between an animal and a human being? Yeah. I thought when I asked you, I mean, a good address. Yes, the human being can ask this question. How can I make my relationship with God? Animals cannot do. That is one answer which I heard. At this time, Prabhupada gave another answer. The only difference between an animal and a human is that the human, at this time, Gopinath's answer is very correct. Prabhupada often gave. The human being has consciousness, some of that. The animal also has consciousness. No, he says the human being can ask one question which the animal cannot ask. Animal can ask, where is food? The animal can ask, where is all types of sense gratification? But the animal cannot ask, why am I suffering? What goes wrong here? He just suffers. He can't ask why. But the human being can ask, why am I suffering? What is wrong here? And what on the other side is, what should I do? And this is so important. I asked this question today. I should have complete attachment to Krishna. That's the most important function. Then I said, if I'm honest, I'm not completely attached. Sometimes, yes, but sometimes life is so intense and I become overwhelmed by the different duties and don't think of. But I can ask the question, why is this so? What can I now do? Or you can ask the question when you are not inspired one day, why am I not inspired? What can I do? Or when you are suffering something, why am I suffering? What can I do? And in this way, you can turn your weakness into a strength. Why? Because you become humble and real by asking this question. Hare Krishna. So I have unlimited subjects on this, but I want to not close the book, I will keep it open. Do you have any questions to what you have heard today? Yes, Prabhu. What is your good name, please?
Matthias. Thank you very much. My question is about being friendly to all living beings. I think that means also to any form of beings, insects, plants, animals, whatever. So my question is, if we see that a devotee is committing an offense against a living being, should we voice it out in some way, or should we just leave them to their reactions?
A very good question, practical question, Matthias. When you see someone harming others, you should first of all make sure if your observation is correct. Now, if you have made sure that your observation is correct, then you should see, okay, how can this be changed? I strongly feel that is important. I want to give you an example. I just come from a country where I have heard that some things are not done properly. I have heard. So I'm at the moment still struggling with myself. Should I say something? Then I would get involved in the country. I would have to study the situation more. There would be people who would not like what I say, and they would most probably write me long emails, and I don't have little time to do emails. So should I say something? Should I ask more devotees? Is my perception all right? Or should I step back and say nothing? I'm at the moment thinking about this. And it would be easy for me to say, well, others take care. But I don't know if I'm then avoiding a moral or ethical obligation. I'm still thinking about it. Your question, when asked on a simple level, is easy to answer. The simple level would be, you see someone, maybe, I don't know, walking over insects, and he doesn't even notice it, that he walks over ants. You should say, Prabhuji, here are ants. You know, if you walk over them, then you crush them. That is a simple situation. But in more complex situations, oh, that is a dilemma. The whole Mahabharata speaks about, there is a Sanskrit word, Dharmapat, I don't know, maybe that's an English word, that's how it translates. That's the question, what is Dharma here? And what is not Dharma? And sometimes it's very, very, very difficult to come to an answer. But you should always have the mentality that you want to do the right thing. I want to tell you why this is, Matthias, I hope I have your interest. I'm not bewildering you with my answer. You can follow, good. There was once a saint. He had the vow that he would always say the truth. So there were some people, he would always abide by the truth. There were some people now coming to him. They were clearly distressed in their face. They were panting. They said, there are people who want to kill us. They are behind us. Can we hide in your cellar? And the saint said, yes. And these people said, but don't tell anyone a word about it. No, I won't. I will be silent. So they hide in the cellar. After half an hour or so, the men of the king come and says, here are some thieves. They must have run by here. Have you seen them? Now the saint had promised, I don't tell a word about you. But here were the king's men. They said, thieves, so what should he do? He decided he had given his word to not say anyone anything. And he said, no, I've seen no one. The king's men said, we know you are a saint, but these are really heavy criminals. Please allow us to look in your cellar. Now, if you would say no, they would look anyways. He was really, oh my God, this is getting bad, the situation. He just said, look in the cellar. And of course they found the thieves. And then they thought, this saint is also a thief because he is on the side of the thieves. And they brought the saint for punishment. And they, do you know what it means to impale someone? Yeah, everyone knows. It's the most painful death you can imagine. It takes days to die. It's a torture method, and I won't describe it because Radha Gopinath will not like to hear this. What people can do to each other. So he was impaled. Finally, the king heard that the saint is punished, and he ran from the palace and said, you are still living. I'm sorry, my men didn't, they're sometimes not thinking properly. And they removed him from the pail, you know, from the, it is a stick which is put inside through where you sit. So the saint didn't say anything to the king, but he said to Yamaraj, why did you allow this? You know I'm a saint. I'm not a saint. I'm trying. And now I was almost killed. This is not good, you know. This is misjudgment. But I just wanted to tell you, sometimes situations are very complex. And sometimes we don't see the complexity. And then we make a quick judgment. And we may do the wrong thing, you know. Like here in the case, the king's men made a wrong judgment. The saint, I don't know, I don't want to criticize him. I'm not so exalted, but you know, he came in a difficult situation. So, Matthias, your motive, your intention, your heart's desire must to always abide by the truth and to tell others politely if you see they do a mistake. But sometimes situations are so complex that you have to first ask others, do I see things right or have I made a quick decision? That's the answer. It's not always so easy. The whole Mahabharata is full with such stories where you don't know what is the right thing here to do. Sometimes mistakes are made. Good. I'm now looking at the wristwatch and it is already time to end. I thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful day with nice devotional impressions. And try to now not forget the lecture, but what we should do? Well, 3 points. Thank you for your enthusiasm to speak, but we need now the precise information. And if we are not, we should work on it, have a program. Second, associate with devotees. But how? You do this already. How will you do this? Invest in the relationship. No? Try to give maybe a devotee a present today or some prasadam. Why not? Or listen to them. And then last, Yeah, Mataji, we are trying to think here. Friendly relations with all living beings means we should do something to uplift them. Hare Krishna. So, all the best and Hare Krishna.